is hospitalized after being stabbed in upstate New York. State police say a man rushed the stage at the Chautauqua Institution, which Governor Kathy Hochul says is a place for people to share ideas.
So this is a place ideally suited for him to be able to speak, and that's what he was attempting to do.
Rushdie has been a target of Iran since his book, The Satanic Verses, was released in 1988. He was airlifted to a nearby hospital. Troopers immediately took the suspect into custody. The House is set to vote on a bill dubbed the Inflation Reduction Act after it passed the Senate last weekend. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the bill monumental and criticized Republicans since it isn't expected to get any votes from their side of the aisle. The measure still expected to pass with Democrats' narrow majority. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is a no-show in an Atlanta courtroom. Scott Kimbler has more.
Graham has been fighting a subpoena to appear in front of a grand jury investigating former President Donald Trump. At issue for Graham is two phone calls he made to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger asking that he look into potential voting abnormalities in at least two Georgia counties. Graham has asked that any testimony he be asked to give be moved to a federal court given his position as a U.S. Senator. CBS 46 reports a judge had ordered Graham to appear and even offered that the state pay any travel expenses he may incur. Former New York City Mayor and Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani was also a no-show for the grand jury this week.
Millions of Americans on Social Security are likely to get a major bump in benefits next year. Seniors could receive as much as $159 more each month in 2023, thanks to high inflation numbers for July. Analysts are currently projecting an annual cost of living adjustment of about 9%. That would be the biggest boost to benefits since 1981. The Social Security Administration will determine the size of the annual increase based on inflation readings for July, August, and September. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
5X480, a B100 B-belt, one of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold, deadline fast approaching, but a quick search on Granger.com and Rob found his part. For the same day pickup at his local branch, he and his crew got the job done, safely and on time. Get supplies and solutions for every industry with real-time product availability. Call quickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, the ones who get it done.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Friday. Another gorgeous and sunny day again today. High temperatures around 77, 78 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, but no rain. Low temperatures dropping down to about 58, 59. For the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures are on the rise slightly. Those highs in the low 70s to upper 80s in selected areas. Mostly clear skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. More sunshine returning for Monday and for Tuesday. Highs of around 81, 82.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasili and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seat, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And I say welcome back because you all have listened to and watched a ton of shows from us. And we're so forever grateful. And I want to just thank you for all of the participation. And clearly, some of the topics we talk about are, for me, I am a student. And so what I love is when I have across my desk or I get to see some very interesting work, whether it's listening to the audio book that I listened to over the past couple of days or actually reading, you know, the book that I'm about to share with you. What I find is there's so much more to more. And this is what I mean. I love living, and Benny has heard me, 20 years we've been doing this show from the original Press Busting show. And out of the gate, it's been very clear to me that I entered this arena not knowing anything but anything. I didn't plan to step into a journey that would enable me to be so curious and talk to thousands and thousands of authors in a 20-year period. But my curiosity came from the place, I don't know what I don't know. And I was so eager to hear what these folks had to say. Vesa Iti is joining me here today. Vesa Iti is somebody that, not the author of a book, that is just one thing when you describe who he is. That's like one thing. But it's much more than that. And also, he traveled this journey with his co-author, which we'll talk about today, who's not with us. But this is a book that I love talking about, and I never thought that I would. Lightbringers of the North, Secrets of the Occult Tradition of Finland. Now, why is this so interesting to me? I'm a kid from the Bronx whose best friend, Linda, who books this show, her parents took me in. Her dad was born in Norway. Here I was over here. But at a very young age, I got to learn some things about different cultures that was so amazing. But what about these secrets? What about the secrets? What about these occult traditions of Finland? What do we know about them? And what is it that we may know intuitively, but may not know? And I think in the book that I read and then listened to the audio of, what I'm very clear about is when we talk about the clairvoyant of a nation, it is very clear to me why we are talking about this nation, why we are talking about so many aspects of Finland that we don't know about. However, we are learning about the culture. But what is it about this, and what are we going to talk about today? And, you know, what is it that the soul and the misrepresentation of the soul, or let me just say this, my language, not his, the misrepresentation of what we could have learned, but I don't think did yet, of what the United States has called the New Age movement. Now, today, we are going to take this journey with my very special guest. The book is fascinating, but it filled in so many gaps for me because I was thinking to myself, am I the only one that kind of feels something's a little bit out of alignment here? Professor, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you.
I am going to start out with what I said. I love doing what I'm doing. Everybody around me thought I was losing my mind. 20 years ago, I dialed the wrong phone number, and here we are today. You're host. You're right here as a special guest on the Dr. Pat Show, but you're also on the network we created 15 years ago. I love that I entered this arena with like a beginner's mind, kind of, right? And then I got confused, and I think what you all have written in this book is going to help people understand things better. Because I think we have gotten confused about esotericism, or, what is esoteric, what isn't? You know, what are the rules, so to speak? Are there rules? And then more importantly, in your book, what we've forgotten. I want to start with that question for you. You've written this book. You're an expert in this field. I want to know from you for the moment, how has this journey of writing this book, and especially with your co-author who's not here with us now, but how did this change you?
Well, that's a good question. It's been transformative in many ways. Well, the story about the book begins in 2014 when Perttu approached me at the book fair in Helsinki. I had translated Jenny the Saltman's Reality of Being, and I was there talking about it. And Perttu had this idea about this book. And he approached me after the talk and said that, listen, I have this kind of idea. There is no book like this published ever before. And I think there's a need for it. Would you be interested? He had written some of the stuff I had written earlier, and I had a fairly popular book I was writing back then, and he liked my approach to things and also my sense of humor, and he thought that we have a good chemistry and things like that would work out. But I was a bit hesitant in the beginning. I was like, well, yeah, let's see. And a few months went, and he approached me again, and we talked a bit more, and I was like, hey, that's actually a good idea. And we get well along, and that's an interesting thing in many ways. And we got the book deal fairly easily, and we became very good friends very quickly. And we had done quite a bit of research and writing about the topics already at that point. But then actually writing the book began, and we did more research and more interviews, and I get to know each other very well. So it transformed me in many ways. Our friendship was there. I got to know the topic more better than I did before. Mm-hmm. And then there was the publicity. The book was a huge success in Finland when it came out. And, then there was this thing that my friend, Perttu, passed away. Actually, exactly on this day 4 years ago.
Yes.
On this very day. And so there came an extra dimension to this book and this process I shared with Perttu. And after he had passed away, I was reminded how important it was for him to get this book published also in English. He friendly nudged me very often, like, hey, we should get this book out in English. And because I had been doing some translation work earlier, he thought that I could do this too, because we could save some money by doing it that way. So, I was busy with other things, but I got them done around 2020. I was still remembering that this project, and that it should be finished. Perttu had even come to my dreams, reminding that we need to finish this thing. So I felt it was a matter of honor to his memory and his work and what we had shared. So I continued from where he had left with the inner traditions and translating the book. And here we are today. Although I say it myself, it's a one-of-a-kind book in the way that there is no this kind of history book published ever before. This is the first time that this this topic is presented in one book. If somebody's interested in the topic, I would say this is a good place to start.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. I'll tell you why. So well put. And, such an honor to really, even though he is not here, physically he's here in spirit, right?
Yeah.
I know what it's like to do dedications to people that we know and who have known and who have inspired us, and then to sort of carry the torch and carry it forward and finish things. I know this. And I lost one of my mentors, the woman that changed my life very, very suddenly in 1999. And you go through this period, and then you realize that the vision and the mission is so much bigger than any one of us individually. You had to finish this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you did. And then I read the book, I listened to the audio, and I have to tell you, I don't know how to explain this, and I hope you're going to help me with this. This is not just a book of words. I found myself, okay, I'm going to really get a little bit out there. I found myself as I was reading, and I was listening, and I was listening to the dialogue that was going on about, this idea of new thought. And my head was going like this. I was like, yes. I didn't know how to talk about it. Yes, right? And then I thought, these are secrets. What's in this book, people don't know about, let's just say they don't know about it at the intellect level, but they know about it. You see what I mean? Because as I was going through here, I was reading about some of the rituals, some of the things, some of the things that I had never heard of before, but I could feel the energy of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that really what happens when we connect to not just writing, but you brought life to some of these people, to some of these characters and rituals, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I can relate to that very well. I'm glad to hear because you experience that. That's great.
Yeah. And I'm acutely aware that this is also, I mean, honestly, I commend you on the level of research in here and the level of effort that you put in here. Here's what I want to ask you. And I know they send me all the publishers send me all these questions, but they assume people don't read the book. I read the book. Here's the question that I want to ask you. I was reading the book, and I had at least 3 aha moments, but I want to ask you, when you finally sat down, put it all together, was there one or another where you said, whoa, what?
what should I say? There were quite many moments, but if I would say just one, which wasn't really anything new as such, but it really hit me in a new way. It was at some point the experience of this spectrum of manifestations of human spirit in a way, like what kind of forms a genuine search can take. It's the spectrum is so huge. And this can be found from any country, any culture. Like there are so many different kinds of people, even within the same culture, same country. There are people like in our book, there are folks who did some absolutely horrifying things to people who were way more educated and noble and ethical, but they had, all of them had some kind of honest spiritual effort and search, some kind of effort being in touch with a deeper reality, universe, gaining deeper knowledge, communicating with it and bringing change, good change, some kind of change to the world and to themselves in the process. So what really kind of hit me was this whole spectrum of the diversity of different kind of approaches that humans have to these perennial profound questions. We are an amazing race.
Oh my God! You know how I knew that to ask you this question, because I went back and I love books like this. So I will read this book over and over again. There are parts of it that I will do my own research on. But when I went back, I read the addendum at the beginning, right? And I love the addendum because thank you for putting this in here because you're absolutely right. I mean, This is it. The work only provides glimpses into the history of Finnish esotericism. You know, glimpses into it, and I love that you did that because I have to tell you that when you go through the book, you want more. Right? I mean, you go through and you start to read, and we'll talk about some more detail and some of the things. But you go through, and you know, to use your words, musings, right? You know, that the book portrays, you go through and you say, oh, no, there's got to be more here. But I am so shocked by how the world doesn't know more about this. Are you?
I don't know, but it's a funny thing that when you look at, if somebody, let's say, Google, Amazon, or just internet, like what was Nordic spiritualism, Nordic occultism, Nordic New Age, whatever. You find all kind of things, and northern forms of magic, runes, paganism, asatru, whatever. There's tons of stuff, lots of books, all kind of things. But when it comes to Finland and Finnish kind of angle to all of that, there's Well, there's stuff like folkloristic stuff, and of course, like a famous glimpses of that, like the national epic of Finland, Kalevala is there in English, and related materials. But when it comes to stuff in general, there's not so much like, let's say, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Iceland.
Yes.
Finland has been a in a blind spot, a kind of a quiet corner. For some reason, there's not been a book like that before. So I guess there was a need.
Yeah. And that's really why I'm bringing it up, because there's just absolutely a need. And I think when you all go through and you take a look at the book, and for those of you just tuning in, let me just repeat where we are. And I think Jacob may be putting some of the images up. This is Light Bringers of the North, Secrets of the Occult Tradition of Finland. And for me today, as I look at this and I look at, okay, here we are today, this is what we're doing. And I think about what you have put together. It is a journey. When I think about this, you're a writer, you're a translator, you are in the world of comparative religion. You know, you are somebody that lives and breathes and walks this. And yet, at the same time, as I'm going through this, I'm thinking to myself, I have seen some of this before. Where did I see it before? Oh, wait a minute. It's embedded ever so slightly in our pop culture, in some of the ways we show things, right? In some of the conversations we talk about brotherhood and so forth. It's in this. It's in here somewhere, just parts of it. But there's so much more to reveal and unveil on both the light and dark sides of this, right? Let's talk about the contrast in light and dark sides if we could. And then I would love for you to walk people through the book, because I think they'll be fascinated that for me it's much more than a historic representation. It really starts to get you to ask questions about things. It's very different for me than a number of other books I've read like this from other cultures, you see, because it doesn't always answer the question, but it makes you aware that the energy of this is around. So light and dark. We cannot avoid it. We cannot avoid the contrast of light and dark, can we? Should we?
I think we can. It's hardwired in our thinking how we make sense of the world. Like we put things like this. Like there's bad, there's good, there's all kind of opposites. And when it comes to spiritual topics, there's of course the same thing manifests there too. Okay. But I think they're not really black and white. Like there's gray shades in between, and there's the question also, like what does this, let's say, white or black mean? And when you dig into these things, you can see that all of a sudden that what seemed to be a white earlier or black might look like that, wait a second, these can be same things for different times for different people. They can mean absolutely the same things with different concepts and so. So it's really good to keep mind open and see what some people meant by some concepts, let's say like white magic, black magic, or white brotherhood, or black brotherhood, whatever. Sometimes these are just like terms to give a bad name to people you don't like. Like Pekka Ervas, the guy who we start with the book, very big name in Finnish esotericism and mystery. He lived in the he was born 1875, died 1934. He was very important for coming of Theosophical Society to Finland and other things too. Some people considered that he was a black magician, that he was a bad guy and all kind of things. But he looked like his career his books, his lectures, everything he did. He was really honest, seeker of truth. Very noble in his like a pursuit, and also as a person, you can see that he wasn't like bad or kind of outrageous person like some magicians in history have been, let's say Aleister Crowley or somebody like that. But Beckert wasn't anything like that. He was a very, very, you could say, decent person. But there were still people who were labeling him as he was a black magician, he was a bad person, he was ungodly. So it, like somebody like him has been called a black magician, but he was far away from that. So these things can mean very, very many things.
Yeah. I would have loved for him to be around a little bit longer, and here's why. And because I think he had an influence. And, you know, and by the way, for all of you out there, you know, we're going to make sure that you have information. If you get the book, and I hope you do, you can start to do your own research on this. You know, he also created his own society. I think it, the English translation, I think, is Rose Cross.
Rose Cross.
The thing I love about this is Carl Jung as well. And there's one letter from Jung that you get your hands on from 1960 where you realize the pressure he was under to conform. And, you know, it's so interesting. You get a guy like him, and people think they know him, right? Everybody's Carl Jung, Freud, right? And then you get a glimpse of what his struggle was and how criticized he was, right? And so the reason that I love that you shared that story is I'm not sure I know many people that we can talk about that at some point in their lives was not put up there for criticism, including Mother Teresa, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, right? I mean, people looked at her like she lost her mind until they realized she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something you bring forward in the book that is so important for us to talk about. I want to talk about it when we come back. As I walk through the book, there's so much that I learned, but there's so much I had to think about further. And that is esotericism versus New Age. New Age. What was it about New Age that, you know, for people like me, we could not quite understand, and yet we talked to so many people who talked about New Age. And then even after talking about it, we still didn't quite understand it. Hence, a lot of feedback, a lot of things that people didn't see. When we come back, I would love for you to take us into that conversation. But before we go to break, how do people get a copy of the book? This is, they can get this probably on Amazon, right? Or they could get it. What is the best place to send people, would you say?
Oh, well, it's very well available from many, many places. Amazon, of course, and there are other internet stores. And it's very well, I think, available just from a regular bookstores. Just Google the name Lightbringers of the North, and you will find plenty of opportunities where to get it. It's quite well available.
Yeah. And I want to say to everybody out there, you could also go to lightbringersofthenorth.com. You'll see the book there. You can get that available. There's also a way for you to take a look at Facebook, Amazon, Instagram. If you go over there and take a look at all of this, what you'll find is more information that really, like if you're anything like me, that made you curious about even getting more information. When we come back, we're going to have this conversation about what is New Age? What is, when you hear the word esoteric, what does it mean to you? Do we know what it means? But I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to doesn't really get into that today. I'm not doing it. Beth is going to do it all. Let's take a short break, Benny. Jacob, we'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com. Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on that, you can go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
I gotta love that song, gotta love that Benny, and gotta love this conversation today. I want to make sure all of you know we are talking about light bringers of the North, secrets of a cult tradition in Finland. Now, here's what I want to say to all of you. You know that this has never been more popular in our pop culture when we talk about the North. What we know least about is Finland. And yet, at the same time, when you read this book, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. I think I've seen something. I think I've heard something. So I want to make sure you go to the website Lightbringers, B-R-I-N-G-E-R-S, of the North.com. And you'll go to the WordPress site. And what you're going to see here, if you can get the book, you can click on Facebook, Instagram, all of that. You will get connected with this. Secrets of the Occult Tradition of Finland. So there's so many things in this book I want to talk about, but I want to talk about this one thing first, because it has been gnawing at me for a good 20 years in my own consciousness. But the conversation, both on the audiobook and in the book, when you address New Age and esotericism, I was shocked, first of all, that it was there. But then as I read, I understood why. Can you talk to that for us for a minute? Because most people may read the book and they may get to these pieces and say, oh, we didn't know that, right? But you are uncovering something here. Talk to that.
Well, you mean the basic concepts,
yes.
The definitions. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is something we start the book with, defining the terms, like so that people know. Well, to begin with, to make something that is not so easy even more difficult, I need to say that these concepts like esotericism, occultism, New Age, these are something that are not fixed in stone. Like the meaning of these words have changed over time within the scholars' discussion and in history in general. But I can try to put like a in basic terms, like what these things mean. Well, I would say that in everyday language, esotericism or esoteric, it means like something mysterious, something difficult to grasp. It's something often associated with things like occultism, mysticism, magic, witchcraft, superstition, supernatural, all these things. And well, the word itself comes from Greek word esoterico, which means something inside, something inner. And when it comes to esotericism as like a spiritual thing, it means knowledge of inner circle or this kind of inner knowledge. Certain kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is associated with this idea of esotericism. Often this is called gnosis, knowledge. And there is also idea of certain kind of way to gain this kind of inner knowledge. This relates to kind of secret societies or circles of people in general who work with this kind of hidden, rejected knowledge. So there's certain kind of way to gain and transmit this knowledge from person to person, and these traditions differ from group to group and cultures from culture to culture and so, but there's certain kind of ways how this is understood, like how this happens. So it's something esoteric refers to spiritual knowledge that is for, you could say, for initiated persons only, those who know, those who are dedicated to it and share the search. Opposite to esotericism is exotericism or exoteric, like what you can read from, think about your local newspaper or so. This is exoteric, what you can find from that website or newspaper. Is it the New York Times or what is in Seattle, the biggest newspaper? That's not esoteric knowledge. This is exoteric. It's something, exoteric is something that is open for anybody. Everybody can find these things that are in the local newspaper. This is public knowledge. But esoteric is opposite of that. It's only for selected, dedicated people who share certain kind of search and understanding of kind of some basics of what it's all about. So and within the academic studies, there's very, very specific definitions, like what it's understood to mean, and there's no consensus even, well, nowadays too, like what it exactly means. Well, this is of course like how it is in science in general, like there are different viewpoints, there's discussion, the whole thing develops. But it moves on. But what I say, I would say that those are the basic things about esotericism. Then when we go to New Age, which is related to esotericism, but I think a friend of mine, Dr. Kenneth Granholm, a scholar of comparative religions and esotericism, he said it very well that New Age is a mass popularization of esotericism. It's kind of putting these ideas in a more popular, more kind of easy to digest way for a common consumption, if you will.
Yeah.
And New Age was a term that was used in the within the academics, like in the 80s and then in the 90s. After that, like this esoteric studies started to become stronger. But in general, New Age is very inclusive as a term. It can include like so many things.
Yes.
And that's one of the weaknesses that of the term, because it's not very specific. Like you can count so many different things inside of it. But in general, it seems to be a kind of a spiritual approach that is, first of all, it's alternative to the mainstream kind of a religious approach to spiritual questions. It's very holistic in its approach. It's very positive in general about human potential. And, well, within these kind of basic parameters, it can be so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
New Age is kind of more popular, easy to digest.
Popular, easy to digest, yeah.
And it's more kind of psychologically explained. Like,
exactly.
It's kind of more like for self-empowerment and these kind of things.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I asked you the question, because, you know, I mean, for me, I entered this arena not knowing one term from the other. But, you know, in my own personal journey, there was this, definitely the spiritual awakening of my own life and what we're capable of in so many different ways. And, you know, when I was reading your book, I was interested in not just that part, but then the many other people you bring to light, the many other organizations you bring to light, you shine a light on. But I will say this, I would like you to talk about a couple of them, because here's what's going on, really. If we want to go back to that pop culture mainstream energy that's out there, there has never been a time in the past decade, in my opinion, that we have had so much focus and acknowledgement for the North. And I'm going to say the North in particular. Once upon a time, the only dialogue people would have about Finland, Norway, Iceland, Denmark, the whole thing, had to do with Santa Claus. And it changed. And I say the past 10 years, maybe it's been longer, but there is a fascination. And the fascination is brought to life in your book and the explanation of why we are so intrigued. Now, you don't need a pop culture blockbuster movie to talk about it. You can look at what people are doing to travel to where you, to Finland, to trust people to travel there, right? To travel to places which intrigue them. If I were to ask you, out of all of the people and places that you chose to talk about in the book, and I don't actually know how you scaled it down, to be honest with you. That's why you think you wrote the addendum.
Mm-hmm.
But out of all of them, who would be your top three that you want people to know about today?
That's a good question.
I couldn't pick them.
Absolutely, most of the people discussed in the book are absolutely unknown outside of Finland before this book came out. I guess that some might have known Pekka Ervas because of his role in Theosophical Society in general, but pretty much all the rest must be unknown. Maybe some in the UFO scene.
Yes.
Like Ronin, Leena Lukkonen-Gilde and Johan af Gran, people like that, their names might have popped up outside of Finland, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Ervas is something I would say that is good to check up. He was a very important figure. That's good. Who else? Well, one of my favorites were the Finnish students of Gurdjieff. That chapter, I think, is very interesting, too. Another of my favorites comes from the parapsychology chapter. There is this man called Jar Fahler, who was a parapsychologist, and he was a scientist, but he had also like a genuine interest in spiritual work, spiritual topics. He was a very fine, rational mind, but he was kind of in between two worlds. He was a scholar, but he was at the same time like somebody who saw that there is something beyond science. And there's, I think we have a quite nice chapter about him and his approach.
Yeah.
He would be something I would say people should check up to. The chapter about UFOs and their history in Finland is, I'm sure, something that probably interests a lot of people. So that too. Then there are these absolutely wild cards that I think are of interest to people just because of the wild stories involved. Like Eeyore Bock, who created his own saga about basically that his family knew the secrets of the beginning of the world and how the history really went, and that all these secrets were inside this one temple in Espoo, Finland, and his family knew the real meanings of words and alphabets and all kind of crazy stuff. And this one character that you mentioned earlier, I think people, it would be a good to check up, Aino Kassinen, the clairvoyant of the nation.
Yes.
She was a very noble person too, and something I would definitely recommend looking up.
Yeah, and you know, look, those people that really live and breathe in the realms we're talking about, they're quite familiar with history. I mean, I don't know that there are many people that I know that I've interviewed or talked to about, let's just say, UFOs that don't know, that don't have a sense, right, of UFOs in Finland. And Maria Locke. Right? LAX. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But, you know, when these conversations and these photographs come out and you see them so clearly, these are the things where people look and say, northern Finnish town. Oh, that's Finland. Right. A town in Finland. And this is like a for real thing. Right? So when you see a headline that says, everyone in this town in Finland has seen a UFO, people pay attention to, but it doesn't quite give the depth of what we're talking about here, especially when we talk about the realm of parapsychology. Now, I found that fascinating because I was reading, okay, when did they start to do this research on this? Like light years ahead of other people? Like what?
I don't know, light years ahead of others. There was this parapsychological society in Finland. There was two branches, Swedish language and Finnish language. Finland is a bilingual country.
Yes.
And the Swedish branch started in 1907 and the Finnish 1938. So it was popular around that time in the world in general. So. That started here around that time. And of course, like elsewhere, Finland has its own poltergeist history, folklore tales, and all kinds of interesting cases, some of which we tell in the book.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, I was looking at, there was one part of the book, and boy, I'm going to mispronounce this name. I'm telling you, please forgive me in advance. Jorma Elovaara, right?
Jorma, right?
Did I get Jorma right?
You did it pretty well. Jorma Elovaara, right.
Yeah, I'm reading about this, and I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Left to die in the hospital, then not, right? So see, these are things that the way you've included them in the book, how you've included them in the book, it really makes us stop and pause for a minute. That's why I love this book, because when I read a book for an interview and I have to start like underlining and post-it notes because I got to get ready for the interview, but I want to get back because I want to find out more. Karen, this book is filled with entirely filled with stories like this. And yet, I guess for you, it's almost like second nature. And for somebody like me, I'm going, what? Wow, like every page. Isn't that why this book is so important to bring it out in the forefront? Because there's so much for us to learn, right?
I'm very happy to hear what you say. That's great. That's great.
I mean, honestly, I think you covered this like maybe on one or two pages, and I read it, and I'm like, wait, what? Okay. All right, I could see this person in the hospital with flowers and some spiritual literature. I could feel myself right there, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, what did you say? My doctor's surprised fully recovered to help.
Yeah.
And return home. I mean, you covered that one paragraph, and I'm like, what? Wait, right? I mean, you do go on and say more about it. Mm-hmm. But see, the entire book is filled with this. See, this is what I love this. If you can read a book like this, and especially when, by the time you get to, we come from everywhere, by the time you get to really looking at some of the things you're talking about, you don't want to stop. Now, I'm not sure where people are going to go to find out more. I don't know if you can help any of us with that. If you get the book, you can start Googling it and try to get the English translation. But this is just one book, and you must really write more.
Right? Let's see.
He's like, oh, my gosh, give me another thing to do.
Maybe.
And let me ask you a question outside of the book, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot. And the good news is we only have like 5 or 6 minutes left, so this is good.
All right, good.
Who, after you wrote the book, and I don't know what the publishers did with the book, but I know what publishers do. But after you were done with the book, is there any one person, thing, situation where you said, oh, I should have put that in the book?
Oh, that's a good one. I was very lucky to, till today, I can't think, I don't feel bummed, damn it, we missed that, this is
right
there.
Right.
There's something that I would have put a bit more here and there, and maybe express a bit differently, but all over, I'm very happy, what's ended up in the book. This addendum that you mentioned, this is something I think was very important. This was something that I would have been happy to have in the Finnish edition too, because I wanted to underline these are really just glimpses of the whole picture. There's so much more. There's so many other persons, and we needed to left out from the book some very interesting cases related to alchemy 300 mm-hmm. years ago,
right.
And this very interesting court case related to Turku Academy and magic practice, some really interesting stuff that we needed to somehow frame the book in a meaningful way and make it work as a text. But when it comes to what we managed to put within the covers, I think I'm pretty happy with it. And also when it comes to that, it's not just dry scholarly book or something, but it's kind of it tells of those lives of people, and we don't judge them. There's people with their strengths and weaknesses, and we just tell what they did, what they thought, and give some historical context and cultural references and some cultural analysis here and there. So it makes it more interesting also to people who are not interested in esotericism necessarily as such, but as a cultural study in general. I'm pretty happy with it. There's nothing that I would really
add there. I'm so glad you said that, and yet I know that as I read this, I can underline some things I want to know more about, and I'm just going to mention one of them right now. I mean, there are a lot of references in here I was vaguely familiar with. Of course, everybody on the planet, I do believes that the reference to the North in Game of Thrones had to do with Finland. I will say that they... I don't think anybody's going to... I mean, there are other people that may want to argue otherwise, but they're even in a hotel in Finland. Right? But here's the thing that I read. I never heard of it before. And we have a couple of minutes left. When I got to the part in the book, in the section, I got to make sure I get this right. The four dimensional church of radioactive love.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I just wanted you to write a whole book on this. It's a small part of the book, but I'm telling you, it got my attention. Tell people about this a little bit in the couple minutes we have left, because the idea of putting something like in the book really points to the fact of how little we know about them.
Well, this is radioactive lava that you mentioned. This is in the chapter about UFOs.
Yeah.
And it was talk about Margit Lilius Mustafa. who was a Finnish ballet dancer who emigrated to the States eventually, and he had encounters with UFOs and aliens, both in Finland and the States. And during one of her encounters with these beings, she was given kind of a teaching. And one of these teachings was, or was called, that what they are teaching, that it's about radioactive love, whatever that is. But there comes more like a more closer definition after that, that what it's all about. And we can see the theosophical and other influences.
And they can read the book and get the whole thing.
Yes.
Right. But what I loved about it was there's so many things in your book like that. You see, if you're somebody like me and been doing this 20 years, average of 10 interviews a week for 20 years, the fact that I come across a book like this and there's so much more I want to know, that's what people are going to take away from it. I bet the people were listening here today, they're saying, what is she saying? Is she saying radioactive? I'm saying radioactive love. But when you go read it and you take the story, this entire, this one part of the book to me is like its own movie. And that's what I love about what you've done. The other thing that I love is that you're really honoring something about Finland. You're really taking people on a journey to educate us that there have been some people, and you know, in Finland that have really stood up, that really talked about things, that have really come out and really set some groundwork for further conversations, you know, deeper embodiment in understanding and learning. And I think people don't know enough about that about Finland.
I'm very glad to hear about that. But then we have managed to achieve a little bit of what we want.
You have managed to achieve it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep bugging you, and I'm going to keep bugging your publisher, because there are things in this book, they need another part. Thank you so much for today. Please let folks know how they can get a copy of the book, and I would love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today.
The book can be obtained either directly from inner traditions, from the website, or from your local bookstore. It's pretty well available as a physical copy from your local bookstore, or, of course, online. Amazon is, of course, a very popular place, but there are also tons of other places. Yeah. So online, or either online or from your local bookstore, it's very well available. And we have a Facebook page, Instagram page, where there are the pictures that you can find from the book.
That's amazing.
They are in color there, and there's some extra information. So those are the places I think would be good to look for. Yeah.
Okay, I knew that was going to be the last question, but I think I have 30 seconds. I've got to ask you this. What's next for you?
I don't know. Life is a mystery, and I'm trying to be open to it and embrace whatever comes.
I'm like right there.
Awesome.
And I love how benevolent the universe is and how wonderfully surprising it can be. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being here on the show. Thank you for sharing some things that most people don't understand or know about, but intuitively, they're yearning to know it. Thank you so much for everything.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to be here in your great show.
Thank you. I want to thank you, Manzanita, Linda. Thank you so much for setting this up. I want to thank you, Benny, for doing what you do, and also Jacob. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Please go to Amazon. Hello. And let me just say to everybody, there's an audio version. The audio version, oh, my goodness. You're going to have to, like, stop it and say, like, what do you say? What are they? Just get it. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or...